You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Locked On Twins. Thank you for listening today. Today is Tuesday, November 24th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. No one doing more work on this Twins team this offseason outside of the organization than me on this podcast. Thank you for joining me today, and we are going to talk about the main points, the main news from the hot stove, which is the Braves have signed Charlie Morton to a one-year deal. The pitching market is moving. Potentially Jake Odorizzi could sign soon. The Twins signed Derek Law. Doogie Darren Wolfson says Derek Law has gotten an invite to camp with an opt-out. He gets $750,000 if he makes the team. We'll talk more about Law tomorrow and kind of what he brings to the table. What that is, of course, is a great slider and a pretty hard fastball. We'll dive into Law tomorrow on the show. The Rays, a report last night from Mark Feinsand says the Rays are open to dealing Blake Snell. What might that take from the Twins? I don't know. And Randy Arozarena was detained in Mexico, the Tampa Bay Rays star outfielder. Let's start with Charlie Morton. The Braves in recent years have jumped all over the market early on, and you see them do it again here. Charlie Morton, they signed 1 year, $15 million. Sounded like Morton wanted to either go back to the Rays or sign with Atlanta. He ends up going to Atlanta, 1 year, $15 million. That's a pretty healthy contract. Was great in the playoffs, you know, had a down year, velocity dipping. I know he's had shoulder problems, so there's some questions with him, but seemed like a good fit for the Twins. Unfortunately, I think his options or his desires were it was on a short list. I don't think the Twins were on it. I wonder if they made a call or if they just kind of let him go do his thing. He signs with the Atlanta Braves. They now have a rotation with Max Fried, Mike Soroka, who's coming back potentially from I think Achilles surgery, Ian Anderson, Charlie Morton, going to be a pretty good rotation there. Drew Smiley as well, they signed. Derek Law, I mentioned we'll talk about tomorrow. The Tampa Bay Rays are open to dealing Blake Snell. We talked on the Twins Daily offseason live podcast / video a couple weeks back. Nick Nelson said or proposed a trade, Alex Kirilloff for Blake Snell. Or actually, I think that might have been Tom Froehming. Alex Kirilloff for Blake Snell. And that might be what it takes. I think it would take a top prospect, 3 years, average annual value, I think, of $13 million for Snell. Of course, the 2018 Cy Young winner, one of the best seasons by a starting pitcher in recent memory, was outstanding. ERA below 2, wins the Cy Young, pitches really well in the playoffs, gets yanked early by Kevin Cash, and that was the main, you know, storyline from Game 7 of the World Series, or Game 6 of the World Series, rather. Randy Arozarena was detained in Mexico. We'll talk about that once we have more details. We don't know, but that's not good for the Rays or their star outfielder. I also want to talk about Ryan Jeffers today. Yesterday, we talked about Mitch Garver, diving into his profile, diving into what happened in 2020, and kind of trying to project what we can maybe expect from Mitch Garver in the future, reasons for optimism, I think, and reasons for believing in the bat and believing in the process and trusting that with a larger sample size, with a healthier year, that Mitch Garver will bounce back. Now, bouncing back to 2019 numbers, one of the 10 best seasons by a catcher in MLB history, not likely, but bouncing back to being a really productive player at the plate and driving in runs and hitting for power again consistently and making more consistent contact, I think is something we can do. Expect that from Mitch Garver if he remains a Twin. And, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays looking for catching help. Got rid of Mike Zunino. Could potentially, if the Twins were to trade for Snell, maybe Mitch Garver or Ryan Jeffers is in that package. So let's take a look at Ryan Jeffers here. Drafted as a bat first, potential DH / first baseman out of college. Mentioned Jeffers did. They didn't really have a catching coach at UNC Wilmington, so he didn't have an opportunity to improve as a catcher. The Twins draft him in the second round of the 2018 draft with the 59th pick. A lot of people said, a lot of publications and experts said that that was a reach for the Twins to draft Jeffers that high because the defense was such a question mark. He projected to be a designated hitter or a first baseman. They get him for underslot value, and they look brilliant right now for it, at least for the moment. They look brilliant. He turns into a great defender with the right coaching in the minor league system. The Twins believe that they could do that. They did it. His framing ranks in the 90th percentile in baseball in 2020. and the bat's still there. And that's the thing. You fix the defense. The bat was already there. In 2017 at UNC Wilmington, he hit 328 with a 1,026 OPS, 10 home runs, 19 doubles in 53 games. 2018, he comes back, hits 315 with a 1,095 OPS, slugged 635 with 16 home runs, 22 doubles in 62 games. Goes to the Appalachian League for Elizabethton shortly after the Twins drafted him and just crushes it and gets moved up to Cedar Rapids, hits 288 with an 807 OPS at low A there for the Colonels, and the bat played everywhere. It has played everywhere. 2019 at the Fort, high A, 79 games, hit 256, 330 on base, 402 slug with 10 home runs. Really solid for a catcher, especially in the pitching-friendly high A, Florida State League there for the Miracle. Gets moved up to Pensacola, 24 games, hits 287, was just fantastic at Double A. We've heard Thad Levine say time and time again, once we see a guy excel at Double A, we feel like he's ready for the majors. Ryan Jeffers did just that. 287, he hit, 374 on base, slugged 483, 5 doubles, 4 home runs in 24 games. And the Twins believed in him, you know, and he looked really good, I think, at the alternate site in St. Paul, enough so that when Mitch Garver got hurt, he was brought up as the primary catcher, and Alex Avila was banged up during that time too. Williams Astudillo, I don't think they trust behind the plate. Jeffers comes up and he becomes the everyday guy, and he really produced and gave us a reason for hope and optimism for one of the best catching duos potentially in all of baseball in 2021 and beyond. 26 games for the Twins, Jeffers was fantastic, hit 273, 355 on base, slugged 436. Weighted runs created plus, again, 100 being league average at creating runs. He was 19% above league average, 119 weighted runs created plus. For a catcher, it's amazing. 8.1% walk rate, 30.6% strikeout rate. And his profile, when we look at Ryan Jeffers and project him, maybe not a great thing, especially in 2020, but his profile is so much like Mitch Garver. Low chase rate, not as low as Mitch, 23.7%. Big time power we saw, and really good framing, and Garver's improved as a pitch framer as well. Ryan Jeffers, amazing, and you can see it when he's working with Barrios and Kenta Maeda, just stealing strikes all around the plate. Jeffers, so fun to watch behind the dish and at the dish. Let's project him for 2021 and for the future, Ryan Jeffers, after this break. So we mentioned Jeffers gets called up, just great. He was great. He was everything that we believed he might be, and that is a really, really solid catcher. You know, a guy who looks to be your starter of the future and your guy behind the dish with how good he is defensively and at stealing strikes, and also his power upside and his patience and his ability to draw walks. It just feels like he has a really high floor, and there is that 2019 Mitch Garver potential with him. But the difference between him and Garver is his defense is already there. You know, his defense is already in a really good spot, enough so that the Twins started him in the first game of the playoffs. And, you know, that's something that we believe when we watch Ryan Jeffers. It's, again, it's that eye test, right? We see him steal strikes. We see him play really strong defense. And when you project him for the future, his bat's never been a question. And that's why you have so much confidence in him, because the question was never whether Ryan Jeffers could hit. The question was whether Ryan Jeffers could play defense, or, you know, the value of his bat just not as great at DH and first base. Of course, he can play defense. He turned into a really, really good defender for the Twins in their minor league system, and then comes up and plays good defense. He's still improving there. You know, who says he can't become a more elite defender? Also, right now, it's important to say, if we're going to talk about trading Mitch Garver, which I think right now is not wise given how low his value is after a weak 2020 season, I will say teams looking for a catcher, they can look beyond that. He's got 3 years left, really cheap in arbitration. It's probably 3 years, you know, $10 million for Mitch Garver, basically. A catcher who has shown the propensity to be elite at the plate and is improving defensively by year, it seems. We do have to talk about Ryan Jeffers' trade value, because what if the Twins decided, and I talked about this yesterday, Mitch Garver going to be 30, but what if the Twins decided, hey, let's extend Mitch Garver. We believe in him as our everyday catcher. I think Rocco believes in him still. I still believe in the bat, certainly, and believe in him bouncing back. Let's have him be our everyday catcher. Let's re-sign Avila or go get Jason Castro again, and let's run that back from 2019. Then what do you do with Ryan Jeffers? In that case, you can move him down to AAA and just kind of stash him there and use him as insurance. Or you could look to move Ryan Jeffers when his trade value is sky high. He's got 6+ years of service left. You know, looked great in his debut. The numbers are there. He showed you what he can be, what he can do. I think you could get a haul for Ryan Jeffers. I would argue right now, because of the position, because of what he did in 2020, you might have a higher trade value for Jeffers than some of the other top prospects that you would expect to get a haul for, like Royce Lewis or Alex Kirilloff or Trevor Larnach. I think that's not out of the realm of possibility just because of how hard it is to find good catching and good offense from your catcher, and guys that are patient and like Ryan Jeffers, guys that have that power potential but also play really good defense. Or you could just slot in Ryan Jeffers as your opening day starter. Falvin drafted him. I think they really like him. I've talked about Ryan Jeffers in such a high fashion. The makeup, you know, just his ability. He could be your opening day starter, and you could just run that platoon with Mitch Garver or like a half platoon. We know Garver still crushed lefties in 2020, even though he had such a bad year. But Ryan Jeffers, this is interesting, and I don't want to jump to conclusions on one-year splits, which means we don't jump to conclusions on platoon splits, righty or lefty, based on 1 year of data, especially in the minor leagues. But in 2019 against righties, Jeffers hit .276, .362 on base, slugged .427, so it was really good against righties. Against lefties, hit only .225 with an on-base percentage below .300, slugged .404, so it was much better against righties, and traditionally in 2018, he was better against righties too. So maybe reverse splits there are legitimate for Jeffers. You know, he has he does a good job laying off sliders away from the right side of the plate. And in that case, if that's true, this is easy. You start Ryan Jeffers in 75% of games against right-handed starting pitchers, and you start Mitch Garver in 100% of games against left-handed starting pitchers, and that should equal out to being about a 50-50 split for those two. We know Garver can crush lefties, still does, and Ryan Jeffers seems to do really well against right-handers. But in that case, you're not only limiting the potential that Jeffers could be a better hitter than Garver against lefties, which is a high bar, but also Mitch Garver bouncing back against righties. He hit righties really well in 2019. You could see him. Maybe you're limiting his value by having a 50-50 split. When this was first proposed, that we'd have a Garver/Jeffers 50-50 split, I'm not crazy about it. I'd prefer to have a starting catcher in 80% of games, and I think when I look at these two, I think I see two starters, which is not a bad problem to have for the Twins. But at a certain point, you're taking away value, right? You're taking away the potential of a guy getting more comfortable maybe in a spot. But also, in 2019, the Twins were really, really, really conservative about Mitch Garver's playing time. He only played 93 games, and we know that they love to give him days off, get him off his feet, and it seemed to really benefit him. So they could do that again and start Mitch Garver in 93 games. You know, he was hurt for a month in 2019 with that ankle. He twisted up his ankle. And have Ryan Jeffers start the rest. And that's kind of like a 60-40 split. It's like 69 games for Jeffers, 93 for Garver. And that's an interesting thing to think about, too. Or you flop those, you know, and have Jeffers be the 60% guy because his defense seems to be better than Garver. I believe in Garver. I do. And I talked about it yesterday at length. Based on the numbers, based on what we've seen, the track record, again, I don't know if I believe that Mitch Garver is 2019 Mitch Garver every year. I mean, I think that year was so, so special for him. The ball was juiced, we know that, and he just put it all together. But I think him showing you that is the upside in the bat, and that's an upside that Jeffers hasn't gotten an opportunity to show you but hasn't shown you. You know, in the minors, yes, at UNC Wilmington, but to do what Garver did at the major league level last year, I just think it's hard to just turn your back on him after 23 bad games or whatever it was he played in 2020. I think it's really difficult, especially given his approach is an approach that has traditionally equated to success with laying off pitches, forcing pitchers to come in and crushing fastballs. He's done that. Didn't do it in 2020, but again, you have to look at that year and ask yourself, how much of that sample can we trust from Mitch Garver and from a lot of these guys? I believe in Garver and I believe in Jeffers too. I'm excited about both of them, but I'm apprehensive that you're taking away value by having them split. And, you know, you could convince me too that that's actually just a really, really good thing. You have two really good catchers, one being excellent defensively, one with tremendous upside as a hitter. And that's, you know, it's a playoff tandem right there. But then you come game one of the playoffs. Does it depend who's hitting well in the last couple of weeks? I mean, that could be the case. You can make easy mistakes there. You know, you can make easy mistakes of not giving Jeffers enough of an opportunity to become like a superstar catcher, and also not giving Garver enough of an opportunity to bounce back and getting him that those daily reps against major league pitching in games. So there's a lot to think about here. We'll continue to dive in this offseason. Aaron Layton going to come on the show either this week or next, so stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll talk about Derek Law, the Twins signed. to a minor league low-level deal, basically, with an invite to camp. We'll talk about him, look at his repertoire on the Locked On Twins podcast. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. The Twins are in a good spot at the catcher position. Don't forget that heading into 2021.